I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're in the final stretch for Bill O'Brien to improve the Texans rosters. There's going to be some guys on the market that are appealing to Bill O'Brien. There's going to be some guys that he has to let go that he probably wouldn't like to. One of the guys that we've been talking about a lot around here for a long time, Jadeveon Clowney. Apparently business is picking up for Clowney. The New Orleans Saints are in heavy pursuit of Clowney, as are the Tennessee Titans. Here is an update from Mike G of NFL Network with the latest on the former Texans outside linebacker.
Once we got close to training camp, Clowney said, you know what, I'm going to take my time and sign right before week one. So the expectation is it's going to be soon, and the Titans and Saints are amongst the teams making some of the stronger pushes for Clowney right now. I'll also add this. The Saints have gone to their veteran guys that have some big numbers to say, if we need to rework your deal in the coming days, can you work with us? That tells you that they are making a run at Clowney, who's probably going to wind up signing a one-year deal at a big number. So you need the cap space to make that happen. So the fact that the Saints are making preparations tells you that they are confident they are going to land Jadeveon Clowney in the coming days.
Football Friday here in In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I mean, this is something to keep an eye on. I think if from a Texans perspective, I know how a lot of people feel about Clowney. They feel he's overrated. They feel that, you know, the market has kind of justified, you know, Bill O'Brien and the front office's thoughts on Clowney. But I think at this point you want him to go to the New Orleans Saints because you don't want him in the division in a system that he's familiar with out there in Tennessee, unless you're just team content and you want some intrigue. But I think him going to the Saints would be probably the best-case scenario for the Texans.
Oh, 100% for the Texans. A couple things on Clowney that are becoming evident. Number one, you know, and I've said this literally from day one, everybody's like, see there, he's overvaluing himself. See there, he's overvaluing himself. He's not that good. The market is telling you what he's worth. And I've been continually saying, you know this, Landry, let's just see what he gets. All right, let's just see what that price ultimately is. It's not going to be $18 million. I get that. But just yesterday, we were talking about Cleveland offering him 16 and 17 for 3 years. And now you've got the Saints and the Titans hot and heavy for Jadeveon Clowney. Let's, before we talk about the market dictating that he's really not that, you know, as good as some of us believe he is, you and me are kind of at the front of the line. Let's see what he gets. That's the first point. Second point, this part of that story in Mike Garofalo's report is that this is what Clowney has been waiting for all along, you know, the week before the game, the time to get through the protocols, get there by Monday or Tuesday, and get going, you know, that he's staying in shape, et cetera, et cetera. Look, J.J. Watt hadn't practiced. He's been working out with his teammates. He's been in incredible shape, as we've all been talking about. But he hasn't gone pads either. I mean, you know, so if Clowney comes back and he's in the shape that we think he is and he gets paid, you want him with the Saints, first of all. But when he comes back, no matter who he's with, I think he's going to be, I mean, maybe a slower start, but I think he's going to end up being the same old Jadeveon Clowney.
And who knows what same old Jadeveon Clowney means to a lot of people. I'm intrigued to see how much the money is going to be. If it's $10 million, that's a bargain. And if the Titans really want him, they're going to have to pursue him. I think he's going to be signed as early as maybe by the end of the show, maybe tomorrow.
No, it has to be, by the way, not to interrupt, but I think it has to be today. I really do, because it's a 2-day thing to get to the protocols, right? So if he signs today, he'll be in the building either this afternoon or Saturday morning, tomorrow morning. So there's your 2 days, Saturday, Sunday, or maybe it's three, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then they go on Tuesday. I think it has to be today.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Text line already blowing up with anti-Clowney and pro-Clowney news. So it's willing to there's a lot. He's always been one of the more polarizing guys in this city, and it just continues. And who knows, as soon as today, as late as tomorrow, I think Jadeveon Clowney's going to be signed. Adrian Peterson, running back for the Washington football team, this morning was released. Mike G, a very busy guy. Here's the latest on Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson is being released by the Washington football team this morning. Again, still intends to play at the age of 35. Still believes he's got a couple of years left of football in his body. We'll see if anybody else in the NFL agrees with that.
Every time a big-name player, even if they're not good anymore, gets released, everybody in all 32 NFL cities, you know, fans tend to say, oh, we should get him. You know, we got to jump on that. He'd be a good Raider. He'd be a good, you know, Saint. He'd be a good Texan or whatever. I'm in that boat on this guy. I shouldn't be, because I very rarely, you know, like anybody comes available, oh, yeah, sign him. You got to be a little more measured than that. You got to be more logical. How does he really fit with your squad? You know, et cetera. Even Leonard Fournette, I was like, yeah, he's good. He's going to be good for someone. But I wasn't all in on Fournette, who's a lot younger and had a lot better season last year with 1,600 total yards plus. I'm in on Fournette. I mean, I'm in on Adrian Peterson. I think for what he could do for this team, I mean, I know there is that issue he had with allegations against how he treated his children. I get that, and maybe that's a non-starter for this organization. But I'm talking about on the field. I think he'd be perfect for this backfield. Perfect. Keep in mind, he had almost 900 yards rushing last year at 34. We all understand that running backs after, and I'm one of the big advocates of that, after two or three or four seasons of 350-plus touches, that they just fall off a cliff. He hasn't. I mean, he should, but his numbers have gone down, but he hadn't fallen off a cliff. Give me him as the number three guy, and you talk about between the tackles, Landry, which has been my big gripe with this squad. Give him to me.
I just don't know where the tough yards come from with this backfield. I mean, you could sell me on David Johnson. You could sell me on Duke Johnson as total backs and guys that can do other things. But when it's fourth and one and it's just time to surge behind this offensive line, I feel a lot more comfortable with Adrian Peterson doing it even at 35.
So you're in too.
Than I do the other guys. Now, the problem is, though, would Adrian Peterson be able to accept a role like that? Because the last time he tried to be just a guy that was going to be added to a committee, he was in New Orleans with the Saints, and it didn't go well. You saw him upset. You saw him kind of complaining. He wanted to get the rock. He's talked about breaking records. So if Adrian Peterson just came here and he said, yes, I'm the third back, I'm going to be in there on short yardage situations, you could sign me up for that. But I just don't know if Adrian Peterson is really about that life, and Adrian Peterson is really a guy that's going to want to sit there behind David Johnson and Duke Johnson and just get the tough yards and maybe be a guy that spells one of those guys.
Two things, and you're gonna laugh at one of them, but I don't care. Number one, he lives in the Woodlands. He lives in the Woodlands, Texas. So there is already something of an incentive to consider the Houston Texans. The second part, and this is the one that I can't believe I'm even saying this, is this where Jack Easterby, you know, shows his power, wields his power, and maybe, you know, sits down with AD and actually connects? I mean, this is a strength. As much as we have a lot of fun with Jack Easterby and how blessed he is, et cetera, that is what he does. He is a people person, you know, and he's one of those guys that can connect with athletes, especially athletes that maybe have a little bit of a past.
I'm a people person.
He did it with Josh Gordon. I don't know how he feels about Adrian Peterson. Again, they would have to just check that out and figure it out. But Adrian Peterson looking for work. He's on the streets. Jadeveon Clowney looking for a team. Tennessee and New Orleans look like the teams that are in heavy pursuit of him. So business picking up on that end. Adrian Peterson, 35, and looking for a new squad. Frank Gore, Still playing football for the New York Jets. And I don't know that this has happened before, but yesterday when D1 college football returned, Southern Miss was on the field. And a young man with a familiar name made his debut, and it made me feel old as balls. Here's a little taste of the debut of the freshman phenom at Southern Miss.
The true freshman running back for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, Frank Gore Jr. 5'8", with tremendous vision. Frank Gore.
Across the board, the coaches told us this isn't your typical true freshman.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Frank Gore is a week and change away from still playing football, and his son is making his freshman debut on my TV screen. I don't know whether to feel old about this or whether to just feel like Frank Gore is a freak of nature.
He's a robot. I mean, Hall of Famer, you know, immediately. I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely awesome. And, you know, Landry, I've lived through this right about your age, you know, and now I may have grandkids that I watched when I was a kid playing in college football, for all I know. But, yeah, it's tough when you see, you know, I followed his dad. Oh, yeah, I did follow his dad.
Well, his dad, you're still following his dad. His dad's
well, yeah, in this
fine.
Case, you're still following his dad, no doubt.
So Jadeveon Clowney to the Saints is good for the Texans. And, J-Lo, you think that Adrian Peterson should be someone they bring in to get those tough yards?
I'm that guy. You know, I'm that fanboy now, you know, because I think it's kind of silly, you know, as I mentioned a second ago, everybody's like, oh, we should get him. Yeah, well, it's not that easy. It's complicated. But with Adrian Peterson, I am that guy. I think sick Jack Easterby on him. Give him all the benefits of playing for the Houston Texans. Make sure he signs on for a very specific role, and then start counting those third and ones that he converts. I'm serious. I'm a huge, huge fan of his. I know they've diminished, but he has not. His talents have not fallen off a cliff.
Adrian Peterson to the Texans, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Ocho on the text line says Peterson would have to humble himself. The problem is Texas boys don't do humble.
Oh, brother.
That's that Ocho. Texas pride from Ocho. He's waving that Texas flag.
Oh,
I think he wants to secede from the union as well. Crazy Ocho. By the way, a big thing we got going today on Clinton's show, following us from 2 to 6. The Texans, they're hosting a drive-in watch party for the opener next Thursday. It's going to be in the Orange Lots at NRG. Everybody likes a good drive-in movie. Texans legends will be in attendance. Cheerleaders will be in attendance. Toro is going to be in attendance. Of course, they're going to be responsible in doing such. They're going to be wearing masks and everything. These tickets were only available to people with season tickets. However,
yeah,
we have the last parking spots, and we're giving it away between 3:45 and 4 o'clock today with Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It is the NRG watch party presented by HEB between 3:45 and 4 o'clock.
You ever sneak into a drive-in?
For that, I did not. I've been to a drive-in like twice. It wasn't as common.
Oh, we went to drive-in almost every
Stuck
Friday
into a
night
real
in
movie.
High school. Every high school, man. I mean, throughout high school, every Friday night. Put three people in the trunk of the car, two people in the driver and the passenger, and there you go. Everybody chip in 50 cents.
There you go. You saved that nickel. Good job, J-Lo. let's go safety first in coming up next. Justin Reed, a little bit of uplifting from Justin Reed. You think you're excited for the Texans season opener? You ain't heard nothing yet. And on the other side of things, the Honey Badger, he's with the new team, and Bill O'Brien's still upset about it. Next.
We're putting safety first.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Justin, I'm going to give you one more chance. I need you to just loudly call this guy an idiot for that question, my man.
All right, you're an idiot.
Justin Reed, it's okay. I forgive you. He is the winner of an award that means a lot for the Houston Texans. The 2020 Spirit of the Bull Award, Justin Reed wins the award. Very well deserved, John Lopez.
Very well deserved. And, you know, this is one of those people might be thinking, wait, what? I've never heard of that one. It's not a Heisman or anything. No, in the building, that's huge. In the building, Spirit of the Bull, given every year, it's a player who they feel does it the right way, you know, on the field and off the field, not just charitable contributions, but just how they play the game and how they help others and how they approach you know, the hierarchy and deal with fans and just the whole package, basically kind of like a not humanitarian award, but just kind of the everything guy, you know, the guy that exemplifies everything they want to be.
Some guys' energy is just contagious. Some guys can suck the life out of a room, but some guys, their energy is just contagious. And Justin Reed is one of those guys. And in the spirit of Football Friday, in the spirit of a historic time here in H-Town, you got LeBron James for the first time. You got the Texans versus the Chiefs in 6 days. Let's get uplifted by Justin Reed. Let's go to the podium and hear what Justin Reed has to say about the Texans matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to weigh in on everything from Eric Murray to A.J. Moore. He's going to give us cliches. He's going to quote Bill O'Brien. He's buying into the message. There's so much to get excited about. If myself and John Lopez haven't done it for you along with Figgy, I promise you, Justin Reed's going to get you ready for the game in 6 days. Here is Justin Reed live in NRG yesterday.
Yeah, our wide receiver corps definitely bring a ton of speed to the table. With Brandon, Kenny, Stevie, all those guys. But nothing can really replicate the speed of a real-life NFL football game. You know, that's something that you only get being in the situation itself. Now, we have experience playing them. We played them twice last year, twice the year before if you count the preseason game. But it's really just going to come down to being prepped and ready for that first game. Is you can't really prepare for that real-life game speed, but we come as close as possible with the speed that our receivers bring.
How do you balance the speed that they have at wide receivers, specifically Tyreek Hill, trying to contend with them and one of the two best pass-catching tight ends in the league?
Yeah, it's definitely a mean 1-2 punch, and that's what led them to be Super Bowl champions last season. So really just comes down to being aware of where those guys are on the field at all times, making sure that you have an extra set of eyes on each of them. And don't let either one of them just plain and simply wreck the game. Just keep Mahomes in the pocket as much as possible. Have an eye out for those two guys, and everyone stay key to the fundamentals and do their job and, you know what I mean, limit the damage.
You're winning the Spirit of the Bull Award. Your thoughts on that? And also just what did you learn from Tyrann Mathieu, who you guys will play against again?
Yeah, the Spirit of the Bull Award is probably one of the coolest awards that the Texas organization does. It's a big honor to be recognized for, you know, what I do on the field, but what I do in the community. It's a big deal to me to always want to give back, especially work with kids. I'm in the middle of trying to create my foundation, and I plan to do a whole lot more in the future. But there's a ton of guys who have won the award before me. I think most recently DJ Reader, and it's just an honor to be associated with men like that. And to have that award presented by the Texas organization, it's just a great feeling, honestly. And it's encouraging for me to go out and continue to do the work that I'm doing to make more impacts on my community here and my community back home. On your next question, you're talking about playing with Tyrann. Tyrann was an awesome leader. I think he was a great guy to be a rookie behind in my first season because he just brought so much experience and versatility and leadership. And I know he's doing that for them with the Kansas City Chiefs now too. But him and K-Jack both taught me things that I'm now teaching to the next guys following behind me. And I'm excited to see him again, you know, play on the field against him. I think he's going by the landlord now over there in Kansas City. So it's definitely exciting to play against guys that you know and watch them do their thing.
Justin, I know you mentioned that you have a lot of experience playing the Chiefs these last two seasons. What did you learn from that playoff game, and how did that help you focus on what you and the team wanted to improve on going into this season opener?
Well, I guess the biggest point home is not only do you have to start fast, but you have to finish strong too. You know, that's the biggest take home away from it. But just the mere fact that we're two very powerful teams. You know what I mean? We both have the ability to score points quickly. We both have the ability to make big plays. And it's just going to come down to being on those details, you know, and being strong and play a full 60 minutes. You can't play 24 minutes. You can't play 30 minutes. You can't play 45 minutes. It's been back and forth every time we played them the last 2 years, ever since I've been here. And it's going to be that way again. And we just have to have the grit and a strong mentality, be tough, smart, and dependable, and come out on top and play the full 60-minute game through and through. And that's what it's going to come down to, especially it being the first game of the season. Tackling is going to be huge. No mental errors is going to be extremely huge on both sides. And that's just what it's going to come down to.
Justin, Anthony Weaver's told us numerous times about how much he wants to improve the pass rush. You see, have those guys in front of you. We know what J.J. and Whitney can do. What do you think about the progress you've seen from young guys like Martin and Aminihu?
I've seen Charles Aminihu take real big strides this camp. I mean, and you usually see it guys coming from their first year to their second year making that jump, and I've seen that in Charles, and I'm excited about it. As far as Jacob, the guy has a motor that doesn't stop. I'd even say he's on his way to being one of those top-tier pass rushers, because every time he's in the game, he makes an impact. You can even think back to the Buffalo Bills game last year when he had that the fumble recovery and the plays he's made ever since he's come here from Seattle. I think that our pass rush has been bolstered, especially behind Coach Weaver. And, you know, I'm excited about what that's going to be able to do for us as a defense to be able to make more plays.
John, did you have a follow-up?
I do, Justin. Now that you've had a full training camp to play with Derek Murray, you know, he's going back to Kansas City. They've moved him around a lot. What do you think about him? How is the communication with you guys being the last line of defense?
Very intelligent player, first and foremost. You just understand that just from talking to him, he understands ball. He's been in a variety of systems. He's played corner, safety, star, weak side linebacker. He's played all the positions on the back end. So very knowledgeable and he's a technician in his craft too. As far as when you look at his fundamentals, his hand placement, his footwork, very keen on the details. And it's been a joy to play with him. I mean, I've had the most fun playing alongside him in the 3 years that I've played in the league so far. And I'm excited for what that's going to be able to do for us during the season and our interchangeability, the ability to disguise, to move around, just to talk ball. We were just talking last night, texting at almost midnight, just talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and how practice was. So we have that open line of communication between each other. It's where we talk all the time, and it's been a great partnership.
Looking ahead to the football game and seeing Patrick Mahomes again, you guys have played him a few times now. What are some of the special challenges of defending Patrick, and obviously, you know, the Chiefs, everybody saw, you know, what he could do in the Super Bowl, and they rewarded him with the big contract. But what do you guys think about how you can match up? What are some of the things you can try to do to try to counteract some of the things he brings to the game? Thank you.
Yeah, definitely the formula everyone's trying to find an answer to. Patrick Mahomes is a special quarterback. His ability to move around the pocket and his arm strength and arm talent. The biggest thing there is don't let him be able to get out of the pocket, because when a guy like that with the arm talent that he has and all the speed around him, those guys have more time to run down the field. It's tough on the front and on the back end to guard guys for that long. So the big thing is keep continuous pressure on him, take away his biggest targets in being Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and, you know, I mean, just get pressure in his face. Don't let him just sit back there all day.
What do you guys make of the historical significance of this game? Being the first one post-COVID, obviously the first one of the season. Have you guys given any thought to that?
Yeah, this has been an off-season, and it will be a season like no other that we may not even be able to see again, at least in my lifetime. Hopefully not. But it's definitely a unique situation from just how the daily life in the building is, all the COVID protocols to make sure that we're all staying safe and healthy, to there being no or limited fans in the stadium, to there being no pumped in audio noise and all that. It's definitely the most unique experience in all season I've ever had and any level of playing ball. And I think it's going to be remembered because of that. You know what I mean? Especially being able to play on the first game of the season on Thursday night. In addition to all the social justice that's also happening at the same time, too, this has just been like a melting pot of a bunch of unique experiences that I think will be unforgettable.
Yes, thank you. Justin, you see A.J. Moore every day. He's had a great camp. What do you think about the way he's done so far? What do you expect from him this season?
I expect a lot from him because I know he can handle it. He's a workhorse. He's one of our special teams leaders, and I've seen him continue to grow ever since. You know, we're the same class, so we came in on a defensive side of the ball too, and being able to start making plays, playing with the ones on defense. You know, I've seen him growing a lot, and he's excited about it. He's going to bring a lot of energy to the table. He's a guy that never gets tired, and as long as he keeps making plays and starts doing it on Sundays, you know what I mean, I can't be more excited to watch him go do his thing.
A.J. Moore starting, J-Lo. I'm telling you, that's Justin Reed, yeah. Little uplifting. A.J. Moore's the starting safety.
Yeah, he is. No, he is. In fact, you know, the Texans had their luncheon yesterday. It was virtual, but still they had their luncheon.
How do you do a virtual luncheon?
I don't know.
Did they deliver me food? Did Uber Eats knock on the door?
I don't know. That's a great question. How do you have a virtual luncheon? Anywho, A.J. Moore was featured in the highlight clip from camp.
I'm telling you. A.J. Moore, if you follow all the context clues, it looks like A.J. Moore is going to be the starting safety. We think that. We know that the Honey Badger is going to be a starting safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. We also know he played a season here. They used him completely different. He's basically just a Swiss Army knife out there in Kansas City. The energy is contagious. And quite honestly, I think Bill O'Brien still cries on his couch every night, eating ice cream and crying about the one that got away. We'll hear Bill O'Brien in just a sec. But before we do, let's hear
from
the Honey Badger.
Where did the landlord come from, by the way?
I don't know. I don't like it. Apparently, the Honey Badger is going by the landlord.
Yeah.
I think you're the Honey Badger until further notice. Here is the Honey Badger mic'd up during Kansas City's final practice. The best of a key piece of the Kansas City Chiefs 6 days from now when the Texans face them out in KC.
Because we like the badger in the cage. And he let me out on game day. You know what I mean? Great day, fellas. My man. I got him. He's coming back. Oh, yeah. Bro, if I was 6'3", I'd be, like, dominant. I ain't go honey badger yet. That's for you know, I ain't go badger yet.
He ain't show up yet? You letting him?
He hit it. Is it halftime right now? He come on, the second half, for sure. Sam, I dropped another ball, man. Cut me. Nobody don't see you. I see you, boy. Tighten up, man. We got the camera on up. Right there, dog.
The Honey Badger. The energy is contagious.
He's, you know, when he said if I were 6'3", I'd be dominant. I think he's just, the way he's built is what makes him, you know. He's compact, he's strong.
I think it increases explosive. The fearlessness. I think being that size increases the fearlessness.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, like Chris Paul saying, if I were 6'8", I'd be dominant. No, the 6'1" you is what makes you dominant.
I think heart and grit, along with the physical limitations, I think that brings out more of a side of a lot of elite athletes that are smaller. So I don't know that he's right, but I do know that Bill O'Brien is very sad that he is no longer with us. He's not dead. You just heard him. He's in Kansas City. Listen to Bill O'Brien talking about the Honey Badger and tell me if you don't want to just give old B.O.B., old King Bill,
or Wooby,
a socially distant hug or something like that. Here's B.O.B. talking about the Honey Badger.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, it was, you know, we only had him for a year here, but he made an impact on this organization from a leadership standpoint, from a playing standpoint. Very smart player. One of the smartest players that we've had here. Just really understood what the offense was trying to do relative to the defensive call and had really good leadership qualities. I remember when they were able to get him in free agency, I remember Coach Reed and I talking and, you know, he's brought the same thing there, obviously, to Kansas City. So it's tough. But those are the things that that happens in the NFL.
I mean, you had a chance. with the Honey Badger? I'll be really interested.
He wouldn't be doing here what he's doing there. I really don't
think
so.
He would be in a different system. I mean, he was.
And we saw him in this system. He was okay, but he wasn't what he was last year with the Chiefs. Not even
except
close.
Against the Cowboys. No, it wasn't against the Cowboys. It was Jason Witten making that call on that Sunday night where he was all of a sudden starting searching his own name on Twitter. He was used differently. They're using him the right way there. I mean, that's just a good fit for him.
I think Bill O'Brien, if you read between the lines with him and Brian Gain, I think that was one of the big disagreements. Bill O'Brien really wanted the Honey Badger to remain. You hear him talk about him. It's almost like a breakup or something like that. I think of all the disagreements, the potential disagreements between Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, I think Honey Badger was one. I think Clowney was the other. I think Clowney would have been locked up long term if it had been up to Gain. I don't think B.O.B. wanted that to happen.
Yeah, no, I think B.O.B. definitely was the one that wanted him gone here. There's no question about that in my mind. But I don't know. I mean, did Brian Gain really? Because he might have been able to win that. I don't know. That's a good question.
It's very interesting. Speaking of Clowney, Clowney expected to sign with the New Orleans Saints, who are clearing cap space, or the Tennessee Titans, who might be making a final push here on Football Friday. Might have some big news as the show continues. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on a historic day here in H-Town. LeBron James and the Rockets facing off for the first time. Texans versus Chiefs in 6 days. Bill O'Brien's got some work to do, though. He's got 24 hours to shape up the roster. Is Kiki going to survive tomorrow? Plus, a side-by-side breakdown of the two candidates to be the backbone of the defense in Kansas City from someone who knows them best. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.